I think if I had my scrapbook here, if you had that scrapbook, one of my scrapbooks, where my friend, who was one of the intimate co-workers, Mrs. Lenape, had with me when she gave a humorous, she gave a humorous picture there of our first movement in voting, of an old cat going out and voting and so forth. She gave this.
I think I have. I just saw that picture not too long ago. I'll show it to Sherna.
Well, that was illustrative of the fact of our being out and having the vote, you know, and all. She saw the humorous side of it, and she knew that our having the vote, while it was a step forward, she knew that we wouldn't do anything with it because we were no more enlightened than the men were, and most women were not as enlightened as the men. Most women are very ignorant, and they are today, as you know. You'll find among the women, many, many women, the great masses of women, you'll find, aren't one bit interested in politics.
How about your children? Who were the ones that were going out and doing something about as far as movements were concerned? Was that your sons or your daughters?
It was my daughters. But my sons have always fully believed in all of these progressive movements. They've never been a part of the backward movement. They don't know what it is. They've always been progressive.
They are good on the woman question, on the racial question. They are good.
How did you feel the first time you voted? Do you remember what it was like?
What?
The first time you voted, do you remember what it was like, what you felt about it?
Oh, I never had any, I'm afraid to say, I never had any illusions. I never had any illusion that women were out to save the world.
Wasn't it a thrill to go out and vote, though? Wasn't it a thrill to vote for the first time?
I don't know that I could say that it was. It isn't any more of a thrill than I would feel now for some forward radical movement progressing into a regulation thing. I still think of that. To my mind, I was so transfixed with the, theory of evolution. I'm so imbued in the theory of evolution that not any of these things come as great surprises. They're all a part of part of the movements of the world, the movements of evolution.
But do you feel that these changes would have occurred if you hadn't done the work you did?
Well, I don't know that I could say that. Perhaps if I hadn't done what I did, somebody else would have come along and done it. Who can say? You can't say that. I think I just worked alone with the evolution of my time. And I don't think that, I think if I hadn't done what I did, and as I did it, I think someone else would have come along and done it. I think it was inevitable. I think it's inevitable that we go on with a certain kind of progress, just like you're doing things now. How do you come to, young as you are, come to be wanting to do these things? Why do you want to? Why do you give a damn as to what happens?
I think because there were women like you before me.
Yes. And I think that it's because you do care. You do care what about things, and you want to be a part of the, you know, you are a part of the evolutionary process, and you want to be a good part of that and an intelligent part. And so you play your part. And if you know anything about the world, you know that you progress along evolutionary lines, and that certain progress will be made. It might not be made as rapidly, nor as efficiently. And some things are accomplished quite as quickly if there weren't these ardent workers that fully believed in things. But progress will come because it's inevitable in the evolutionary progress of the world.
Looking back now, what kind of progress do you think has occurred for women? Looking back now, what kind of progress do you think has occurred for women in the last 50 years, say?
You mean that the women that they've done in the last, the women have done?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know that I could say, because my own thoughts and minds and everything has gone so completely along, not with the women, women as a movement, but with the both sexes, with humanity working as a movement. It's gone along so completely in that line.
Your main concern wasn't with women.
I don't separate women from men.
But you were working primarily for women in the birth control movement and in the suffrage
movement.
Well,
of course you have to there. There's a definite different line from the very nature of the way people are organized and born. But it isn't so definite in the suffrage line. But I think that these things are bound to come along as the world progresses. There's no way in which you can stop them, and no way, but of course you can always help along by going along with an intelligent process. And I want my family to go along with the intelligent process. Mary has. She's gone along, and she's gone along, and her sister did too, highly intelligently, along, I think, very progressive lines. In every line she's been working, I think she's gone along progressive lines. And she's made a great contribution to the world advancement of knowledge and enterprise and looking at things and an intelligent way of grasping. I think she's made very great progress in what she's done.
Put up a fight for middle-aged women, Mother, in the academic world, right? Now I'm fighting for old women in the academic world.
Do you recall how you first got involved in all of the activity?
What you say?
Do you recall how you first became involved in all of this activity? In the suffrage fight, in the birth control fight, and in social movements? Do you remember how you first got involved?
That who?
How you first began?
How did you first get started? How did you first get interested in these movements?
Oh, I don't think there was ever a time, because my mother was a highly progressive woman. I don't think there was ever a time when I wasn't interested and had to be converted to some movement. It was just like the way you were brought up, dear. It was you can't remember a time. You couldn't possibly remember a time when you first developed and saw light and so forth, because it was always there before you that you could see. And it was the way with me. My mother was a highly progressive woman, and for her time, she was highly progressive for her time.
Didn't you have some trouble in your childhood because the family was not religious?
Well,
in that little town where you lived?
We always were, we would have been ostracized in that little town where we lived if we hadn't been children as progressive as we were. And we never had failures in school. My family. We were a large family. There were probably about 5 or 6 of us functioning each time. And there wasn't, we never had faders. We stood among the progressive children of the time. We were always high in school. I went into high school, and it was a regular high school. It wasn't just a one. When I was 12 years old, and we were all progressive. We all went. We were advanced in our studies. We were advanced when we graduated from high school, and we had good schools in this little town where I lived. We had a very fine high school. We had some of the finest teachers, but we had young men who just came out of college. My principal man, who was the head of the high school where I graduated, was a graduate of one of the big Eastern colleges at Princeton, I think. He was one of the graduates. And a very wonderful high school teacher he was. He gave us all advanced ideas and everything. But I would never have been as far in advance in my way of thinking and viewing of life if it hadn't been that my mother was also a highly, and my father too, of course. He took it for granted because he was the best educated man in the little town where I was born. And we just took it for granted about my father, his family, because they were all students. But my mother was only 15 years old when she married, and she had her whole life in education, at least in the higher ranks, to be lived. And it was very important the way she lived it. And as we were numerous children, for things, it was highly to my mother's credit that she never deviated from the intellectual side of life. She read all the finest books and had the finest literature and did everything right from the beginning along with us children as we went along. And never was fell back at any time on her lack of comprehension of what we were, what our aims in life should be. And then, of course, I had the good fortune to meet and marry a highly intelligent young man. Of course, he was a college graduate, and he had graduated in engineering as well as in the legal work, and was highly efficient. So things went along just naturally, in a natural progressive way. And then, as you know, my children have all been Stanford students. And there never was a thought in my life about my children not being able to enter any college that they wanted to go to. And, of course, they were. And three of them were graduates of Stanford. One was in a very short time of graduating. But he was called out to his job by the oil company that he worked for all his life. He was gifted. He was the gifted one of the family. Elling was the gifted one.
He's a mathematical whiz.
He had your father's mathematical gift. Your father, besides being a good lawyer, had a mathematical gift. And Elling inherited that from your father.
The rest of us didn't get it. No. On the contrary.
Are
there things, do you feel, looking back, that there are things that you wanted to do that you couldn't do because you were a woman, like going on to college or having any sort of profession?
Oh, well, of course. That was a very great loss to me when I was young, coming out, that I couldn't go to college. I had had I never had the hope that I could go, because we were never able financially to have ever financed anything like going to college, so it never was a part of my life. But I had unusual experiences, as my children know, by my 2 years session in my 2 years of life in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And
he was judge of the appellate court?
Yes, he was judge of what was called the St. Louis Court of Appeals. And not the National Appellate Court, but the St. Louis Court of Appeals. But he was a law book writer, and his law books had extensive circulation here and abroad. And I helped in the writing of a couple of those law books when I was there, the 2 years I was there. And I had every opportunity for a very progressive kind of existence, and it did wonders for me in opening my eyes to the world at large, so that I could never go back to a very narrow existence. And I lived it, and it was all great personal pleasure, like all one's knowledge is. You know your own knowledge and your own awakening, and just the fact that you have this interest in the past and what was accomplished and done. You wouldn't have any interest in it if you hadn't felt that it always led to something that was broader. That's what our knowledge does. It leads to something always beyond ourselves when we acquire knowledge. And all you can do for children, and all I could do for my children, was to furnish them an expansive home life, and also to go as far as they could go, as far as they wanted to go, and give them the opportunity of progressing as far as they wanted to go. And always have places and opportunities open for that. That's all you can do, in a way. You can't put brains into people. You just have to give them the environment, that the part that their brains can absorb is. Are you married, and do you have children?
I don't have children.
Yes. But if you did have, that was all you could do.
She's a sociologist.
Mm-hmm.
Sociology research.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows Esther.
Well, you have that. I know from the very fact that you'd want to sit here and listen to me, and everything shows you are progressive. And that you can have some conception of the fact that each one, no matter how simple that can be, or in what a simple way it can be, can always make a contribution to the larger expanse of knowledge. That's the way I feel with anyone here. Any one of us can make that larger contribution to the world of knowledge, and wherever that is made, and in however a small way or large way or any way it can be made, it's valuable. And And you should never give up doing something because you can't do better or do more or something. You should do what you can. So I've always tried to work along progressive lines. And all you can give your children, if one has children, is to give them the opportunity for progressing.
Now, I understand that you went to the Soviet Union in about 1929.
Yes.
Do you remember your feel when you went there, how you felt that women were doing there compared to the United States? Do you recall any of that? How did you think that, what did you think of the women's position there compared to the United States when you went?
How did I think it was
in the Soviet Union, compared to the United States?
Oh, I thought that I had no illusions about things at all. I felt that history was being played there. The Soviet Union was writing history, and that they were in the forces of evolution as much as anyone. They could only play the part that was possible for them. You can't go out and make over something. You have to deal with people. And the way
they... backwards, though, can't you, Mother?
They have progressed, but...
How about Hitler? Was he with the forces of evolution?
Yes.
How about Hitler?
Well, he was... You can't, to any large extent. He played a brief time there. But he couldn't... The people couldn't go any faster than they can go along certain lines. They can have climaxes and certain kinds of things. But
did you notice in the Soviet Union, did you notice women having more types of jobs? Did you notice any freedom there for the women?
I don't remember that they had complete freedom. What more could they have?
Did they have birth control?
Yes, they had everything. They had complete freedom. There was no restrictions on them. And so I don't know what more they could have had. Oh, yes, when they had the revolution, they had complete freedom. As much as any of the women would take. The women were very ignorant, a great many of them. They never had any opportunities for any kind of education or knowledge or anything. But they had all the freedom and every kind of freedom that they could possibly take and absorb. It wasn't any question of restriction or that they were held back and had to fight for something. It wasn't that at all. The only question was getting them to accept the freedom that they had and to measure up to it. They came along very rapidly, the Soviet Union did, because their women there were of a high order mentally and much higher order than they knew they were. They didn't themselves know how freedom they could absorb. They didn't know enough. They didn't know how much they could. But they did go along, and they have gone along with the process, what I would call the evolutionary process there. They've gone along with that.
Did you feel that women were able to be free if they were the ones that still had the responsibility of children?
You mean they...
If they had the sole if it was only their responsibility to raise the children, did you feel at the time that...
You mean the women in Russia?
There and here, too.
I didn't quite understand.
That if women could be free, if they still were the ones that had to, no matter what else they did, were still the ones that had to take care of the children.
Oh, yes, I thought for probably some generations to come, because it had always women bear the children, and they have to have responsibility for them. Oh, yes, I think that women must always feel that, and probably always feel it just a little more than men, from the very nature of the process of birth. But I don't know about it in educational lines or anything like that, if there's any difference, and that women have any higher function because they're mothers or anything. There's a lot of that nonsense that I don't subscribe to at all about what happens and so forth. You're intelligent and you have to be born with a certain intelligence. As you know yourself, you have to be born with desire to learn. And if you're not born with that desire, you don't care about it and you don't learn and you go along with just the common mass if you don't have the special interest in the pursuit of knowledge. And so I don't know that I'm not given to any of these possibly not as much as I should be to these ideas that women are tall superior or that they would do anything.
They live longer, Mother. You'll admit that, don't you? They live longer.
Well, I think they may have more influence. But the great masses of women around one are not any people that you can be particularly proud of any more than you can of the men around us, you know.
Did you feel that was true when you were working in the suffrage and birth control movement?
Oh, yes. I never had any movements of the superiority of women. Oh, no, I never had that. I could never have had that idea that women were superior when I had the kind of a husband I had who was highly superior. He embraced all the good traits that any woman, and the high-minded traits and the equal impetus and ambition, everything that I wished and desired for my children, and to which I couldn't certainly surpass anyway. And so I never had any illusions of the superiority of women or the men set back. I think a great deal depends.
Well, Mother, you thought your mother was superior to your father, didn't you?
You said what?
Didn't you think your mother superior to your father?
You mean intellectually?
No, I mean as a person.
Well, I think my mother was superior in this way, that I don't know that I can even, that you can ever really judge those things, because it's the way you're born. My father was born with a high temper. He got quickly angry at things.
Maybe the silver plate that had something to do with
it. And my mother was not. My mother was more placid. It was difficult for her to get angry. And it was my father could be angry and he could denounce and do and so forth. But he did value education, and he did value everything. It was he had ideals that were good. I never considered him as well-balanced a person at all as I considered my mother. But she was only 15 years old when she married, and she was just a child, and he was 27 years old, and he'd been to what they called what they thought of as a college in those days. It had the same kind of a standing of a college as today in the learning. It was only a seminary, but he had the advantage of that. That was considered one of the high institutions in his day, a seminary. And he was quick-tempered, and my mother was not. My mother had hard work getting angry. She was very well-balanced temperament. And my father was, could get angry hastily. And I always knew when I was a child, living in my mother's home there, I always knew that I never wanted to be like my father. I knew that. Never wanted to give way to quick temper and denounce and do that. And I never have in my life. And because I didn't admire that type of person that gives way to an unbalanced temper, a fruitless kind of anger that you have, if you have anger, and so forth.
Do you remember how you felt about the First World War?
I don't remember exactly how I felt about it. I'd have to go back.
Were you opposed to the war, weren't you, Mother?
Oh, yes, I was definitely opposed to any war that any young man should go in and sacrifice his love, his life, for some vague principle.
Now, on the Second World War, you didn't take that position, did you?
I don't know.
It was a question of Hitler?
No, I was opposed to Hitler and worked against him.
So you supported that war, didn't you?
I suppose I did. I can't remember exactly.
I got a picture of you getting some kind of a deal. Something in front of a poster of a woman that lost four boys in the war.
I don't remember so much.
You supported that war. You remember that?
Yes.
Did you, when you were opposed to the First World War, did you talk to other people or make speeches, or were you in any group?
I can't remember so much about the war status.
We were living here in Palo Alto. You remember? The war started when we were in Old Orchard, Maine, and then it was still on when we moved to Palo Alto. It was still on in 1917, 1918, and then it ended here.
Mm-hmm.
So you were opposed to the war, weren't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I was opposed to the war. No. As we look back, things get to be a little, the further back we recede, they begin to look shadier, a little shadier, our views. We don't remember so
clearly. When you get tired, Mother, you tell us, if you're going to get tired. Are you tired?
Are you getting tired?
Yes, I think in personal things. Especially when you are a mother with children and a wife and a mother. Yes, of course it's valuable because you can't help but be exercising influence one way or the other. And in the very nature of the bringing up of the children, the home environment has a great deal to do with the way children feel and think.